Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Terry Bird Tales. This is Mummy Rook. Okay, thanks.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. Thank you so much for being here this week. I have a beautiful birth story to bring you today from Mama Courtney. But before we jump into that, this week's episode is brought to you by Your Birth Project, which is my online hypnobirthing course designed to help you create your best birth, and the online store, which has everything you need for pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. So make sure you go and check it out at Your Birth Project on Instagram or www.yourbirthproject.com. I am re-recording the course very soon, so it's going to have all new refreshed content, and that will more than likely bring a little price increase just to reflect what's going on in the course and what it offers. So if you want to get the course before that, make sure you head to the website as soon as you can, because that will be coming very soon. You will have access to all of the new content as well when that's released. But regardless, you get access to the course for 12 months. You can access it as many times as you like in that 12 months, and it will help you to create your best birth. So make sure you go and check it out. Recommendation for the day. So if you are a TV watcher, then my recommendation for the day is Neon. So I've been watching lots of different things on Neon, but one of my favorites has just come back, which is Yellowstone. If you haven't watched that, this is the fifth season that's just been released. Huge fan of Yellowstone. Took me a few episodes to get into it. Like, I think we watched the first episode 3 times, but once you're into it, yeah, it's a really good series. And if you're tragic like me and you like things like Love Island, there's just been a Love Island Australia released on Neon, so that's a good one too. So that's my recommendation for today. I've been watching a bit of TV in the evenings, which is nice because the kids are in a slightly better nighttime routine. Get a little bit of time back to ourselves. So yeah, that's me for the week. What am I talking to you about today? I have a lovely story for you today with Mama Courtney. Courtney takes us through her pregnancy and birth with her son Max, who is now 5, and what that pregnancy and birth story was like. And then she had unfortunately suffered a miscarriage in between. So she had a miscarriage after Max and then fell pregnant with Hugo. So Hugo is now 2. We cover lots of different things in this episode, including endometriosis, supported cycles, so using clomiphene to help get pregnant, pregnancy yoga and how that played a part in her pregnancies and births. She had 2 very fast births, so she talks us through those pretty fast birth experiences, and then what everything has been like for her postpartum both times. So I hope you really love the episode. I would love to hear from you. Make sure you send me your feedback at KiwiBirthTales on Instagram or KiwiBirthTales@gmail.com. I will let you listen to Courtney now. Enjoy. Hey Courtney, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Courtney. I'm 30 and I live in sunny Nelson with my husband, Steve. We've been together 11 years and we've got 2 wee boys, Max, who just turned 5 last week, and Hugo was 2 in August.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. And we're going to talk about lots of different things today, but I'd love to start with what the journey was like to pregnancy for you and Steve the first time around.
Yeah, sure. So I've got a history of endometriosis, and that sort of began back when I was 14, 15. I was diagnosed and I got put on the pill around age 14 just to help with the pain and managing cycles and things like that. And I still had ongoing bleeding and painful periods and whatnot. So I had three resections. I think one when I was about 15, 18 months later when I was 16, and I think the last one was when I was around 19. And that definitely helped with symptoms, and things seemed to get better for a while, but then unfortunately the symptoms would come back. So I just continued taking the pill. I did at times try like the depot injection to see if that would help with things. I also tried the Mirena at one point, but didn't have any success with that, and I ended up actually having to have that removed again. So I just kind of persevered and put up with the pain and sort of ran my pill back to back for as many months as I could, but I would often still get breakthrough bleeding and then all the pain associated with it. So it just kind of continued for years, and my sort of one hope was once I got pregnant for things to resolve and get better. They often say with endometriosis, pregnancies can help with your symptoms. So Steve and I ended up got married at the end of 2015. We went on our honeymoon over Christmas and New Year, and it would have been the ideal time to start trying, but I was too scared to stop the pill because I really didn't want to bleed the whole time we were away. So we decided to start trying when we got home. So I stopped the pill in January, about the middle of January, and I just assumed that my period would return straight away because I was just so prone to bleeding, but it never did. Month after month went by and I still had no period. 6 months down the track, still no sign of it, and it was beginning to get pretty frustrating. I mean, once you've made that decision you want to start a family, you kind of want to start now. And I just felt quite frustrated that we didn't even get the chance to try each month, because clearly I wasn't going to be ovulating if I didn't have a period. Well, I didn't appear to be ovulating. So I'm actually a nurse and I work at the private surgical hospital here in Nelson. And one of our surgeons there, one of the gynecologists, she was actually the surgeon that did my third resection. So I just had a chat to her at work and said, hey, look, we want to start a family, come off the pill sort of 7 months ago now, and I still haven't had my period. So she just said, book an appointment and come and see me in clinic. So Steve and I went and saw her in clinic, and she essentially said, look, it could take up to a year. I can give you some medication to help you. And she was happy to give me the script then and there, and did advise to wait the year, but also said to me, look, I'll leave it in your hands and you can start when you like. And I essentially ran out of the appointment straight to the pharmacy and filled the script. I didn't want to wait any longer. So I had to take two medications because I wasn't bleeding. I had to take a medication from memory. I think it was called Provera. And I took that for around 5 days, and what that did was sort of induce a withdrawal bleed. So I took the medication for 5 days, and then a couple of days later I would start bleeding, and I essentially could use that as my period to then take the clomiphene. So I then took clomiphene on, I feel like it might have been between day two to day five of my cycle, or maybe day two to day seven. And then you sort of had sex around day 14 when you were meant to ovulate. And on day 21, I would go and have some bloods done to see if I had ovulated that month. And then also do a pregnancy test on day 28. So that's sort of the routine we got into. And the first cycle, my bloods came back and I hadn't ovulated. And then negative pregnancy test. I feel like we had to wait a couple of weeks in between then starting the next cycle. So we repeated and did the same the following cycle. Once again, day 21, bloods showed that I hadn't ovulated again. negative pregnancy test. So I had a chat to my gynecologist and she said, okay, let's double the dose for the third cycle. So I'm actually a identical twin as well. Mm-hmm. And with these medications, particularly clomiphene, where it's sort of inducing ovulation, you then become higher risk for having multiples. So I thought, you know, being a twin and then adding a medication in that could increase my likelihood of having multiples. You know, she just had to make sure we would be okay with that, which I said, look, I love being a twin. Like, it wouldn't be a problem. Yeah. So doubled the dose for cycle three, went through the same situation, and I got to day 20 of the cycle, and I was meant to go for my day 21 bloods the following day, and I was at work, and I just felt nauseous. Like, all of a sudden, I just had this wave of nausea come over me, and I was like, oh, that's weird. But it was sort of coming up to morning tea time, and I thought, oh, maybe I just need to have something to eat. But I thought, oh, I might just do a pregnancy test anyway. So I went and pinched one out of our treatment room. We have a stash in there just because we sometimes have to offer them to patients or get patients to do a pregnancy test prior to, like, gynae surgery.
Yeah.
So I went and pinched one, went to the bathroom and did the test, washed my hands, almost forgot to look at it because I thought this is far too early in this cycle to be testing. Like, I would only be about 7 days past ovulation, so I really wasn't expecting to see anything. And I looked down and it was the darkest line, like the darkest line. Yeah. And I instantly almost just felt sick. Like, I was like, what? I don't know. Like, I was expecting it, but it came as sort of quite a shock. Because I was about, it was just a year after we initially, like, I came off the pill. So I knew it was going to happen and I was expecting and hoping for it to happen. But when it did, I just thought, oh my gosh. And I don't think I was expecting to find out at work. I thought it might have been, you know, at home with Steve or something like that. So yeah, that's essentially how I found out. And the gynecologist just so happened to be working that day. So I sort of hung around after my shift for her to come out of theatre and said to her, hey, look, I'm meant to be going for my day 21 bloods tomorrow, but actually I think I'm pregnant. Can I have a lab form to get my HCG done? So I went and had that done the next day, and she emailed me that night and said, your HCG's 10,000 and I think you're around 6 weeks pregnant. And so what had happened is I actually had got pregnant on that second cycle. And I've since learned that I ovulate a bit later, so I think I ovulated later, and maybe the day 21's bloods hadn't actually quite picked up that I'd ovulated yet. So I was much further along than I anticipated. I sort of thought, when everything's planned and you're monitoring and counting down the days and everything's a bit regimented, that I would know, you know, the second I got pregnant. So to find out I was already 6 weeks along was a bit of a shock. But yeah, the most welcome surprise in the end. Just took a while to get there.
Awesome. Cool. And how were you feeling? Like, did you have many symptoms that came after that positive pregnancy test? And yeah, what were your first sort of 12 weeks like after that?
It was like the second I knew I was pregnant, I felt sick. That nausea that came that day sort of just hung around, and I just felt hungover, really. It wasn't too bad. And to be honest, I only felt really nauseous for about a month, I think. I actually went and had a dating scan later that week, and I was, 5 weeks and 6 days along. And I remember by 10 weeks, the nausea subsided a bit. And by 14 weeks, I had some energy back, because that first trimester, I was just so fatigued. I don't think being a nurse and working shift work and having to do night shifts and things like that helped the fatigue. Yeah, all in all, by sort of 14 weeks, I was feeling pretty good again. So I was quite lucky in that aspect.
Awesome. And did you decide to go with a midwife, or what did you decide to do there?
Being in Nelson, we don't really have, like, even though I work in a private hospital, we don't have like private obstetricians and places to birth. Yeah. So I was a bit naive in having like in realizing how quickly you had to find a midwife. So I was 6 weeks along when I found out, and then I thought, oh, this is too early, like I don't want to bother them yet. So I waited until I was about 9 weeks, I think, and then started calling around, and I could not find one, and I was beginning to get panic a bit and think, oh gosh, like what am I gonna do. But one of the midwives actually suggested a midwife who was just coming back after some time off and said, I know she's going to take a smaller caseload just because she's returning, and maybe get in touch with her. So I got in touch with her, and she was more than happy to take me on. Steve and I met her, and we got on really well with her. So I was very lucky in the end that I did get one, but I definitely knew for second time round to get onto it much sooner.
Yeah. Awesome. And what sort of happened from there? Did you do the standard testing that's offered in New Zealand? And did you want to find out the sex of your baby? What did that look like for you?
We just did the standard testing. I did have that dating scan. Then we had the 12-week and 20-week scan and just the routine bloods. We didn't find out the gender either time. I was really adamant that I wanted a surprise. And I actually didn't end up having the gestational diabetes screening this time around. It kind of just slipped through the cracks. I saw my midwife, I think, for the first time around 10 or 11 weeks, and she was actually heading overseas back to the UK for 3 months. So I saw, she didn't have a backup midwife at the time because she'd just come back into practice, but one of the other midwives said that she would cover my care for the time that my midwife was away. And somehow in between seeing that midwife and then my midwife returning when I was sort of 20, I feel like I was nearing the end of the second trimester, the gestational screening just got missed. And so it wasn't until my midwife came back and she was trying to find the results of those, she said, did you have that done? And I said no. And we kind of had a discussion about it, and she thought I was pretty low risk, and she sort of essentially left it up to me. And I said, oh look, I would hope that I, well not hope, but I would assume that I wouldn't have it, that I had no other sort of risk factors. We've been checking my urine and all the rest of it, so I just opted not to go and have it done in the end anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Awesome. And what about your birth education or sort of thoughts around, what that might look like for you? Did you do any antenatal classes or, what was that like in your first pregnancy?
I read Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, so I really enjoyed that. Steve and I did a antenatal course through the Parent Centre here. So we did it over, I think it was like 8 weeks on a Tuesday night. I feel I've been around a lot of babies and looked after many, and I guess maybe being a nurse, you have a bit of an insight. So I felt like I knew quite a lot already. But I went more for the social aspect. I really wanted to meet some others that were having babies around the same time. It was actually great. We had a really great group, and Steve actually, I think, got a bit out of it as well. And it was just a nice time to connect and go and do something in the evening. So, yeah, we did that over the 8 weeks. And I also did pregnancy yoga, and I really enjoyed that. Absolutely loved it. And I think that was really great and beneficial in sort of honing in on your breath and sort learning to breathe properly and slowly and great, and sort of opening your hips and your pelvis up, preparing for birth and things like that. And I just did lots of reading. I listened to podcasts. I don't know if yours was around 5 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
No. So I was searching for others, but I've always been just, I actually did think about being a midwife before a nurse. So I've always been really interested in babies and birth and pregnancy and all the rest of it. So I just did lots of reading, lots of research, and just tried to sort of educate myself as much as possible.
Yeah. Awesome. And where did you think you wanted to give birth? And did you have any ideas, yeah, around like a birth plan or how you wanted your birth to go?
My plan was not to have a plan, but just to kind of have a loose idea of what I would like. We did decide, for being a first baby, that we'd like to be in the hospital for delivery. And my midwife was quite good in just kind of my birth plan. We kind of just wrote it down in steps of sort of things to try as the labor progressed, things that we could do at home. I hired a TENS machine. We worked through some acupressure points, heat pack, showers, baths, just things that we could do ourselves even before we could ring her. And then, the plan was she obviously let us know at the stage that we should give her a call. I was more than happy to just see how labor progressed and use things as I thought I might need them. So I wasn't opposed to anything. I just said, let's just work through it. And if one thing stops working, let's try the next type of thing.
Awesome. Cool. And what sort of happened from there? Do you want to take us through the last sort of few weeks of your pregnancy and how you were feeling and then into your labor and birth story?
Yeah, sure. So I did go in for monitoring. I think I had reduced movements around 29 weeks. So I did go in and have some extra monitoring then. And then Steve and I were in the process of building a house. We decided we would do that right at the start of the pregnancy. So we were on quite a time crunch to get into this new house before the baby arrived. And I decided to finish up work around 34 weeks. I was still feeling fine in myself, and I actually think sort of being on my feet for 8 hours a day kind of kept me quite fit and active, which was really good. But I knew we were going to be moving house when I was 36 weeks. So I decided to give myself 2 weeks to plod along and pack up a house. So packed up, we moved when I was 36 weeks. And luckily we did, because he decided to come early. I actually had a feeling he might come early. I'm not sure why. I didn't know it was a he. We didn't know, but I just in my gut felt like this was a boy. I would have been shocked if it came out and it was a girl. In my mind, it was just a wee boy. And so 38 weeks rolled around, and I had him at 38 and 3, so he came 10 days early. And so it must have been 38 and 2 was a Thursday. And I went into town and did a bit of shopping. I think I went and had a pedicure. And I met my sister for lunch. And she said to me, "Are you feeling all right?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I feel really good." And she's like, "Oh, you're not having any labor pains, are you?" And I was like, "No." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, my stomach's cramping, and I don't know if it's a twin thing. We've had things in the past where we've been away, but often we'll sort of get unwell at the same time, or we're quite in tune with each other." And anyway, I was happily eating my lunch, and she was sitting there trying to breathe through these stomach cramps that she was having.
Funny.
Yeah, and she's like, "You sure nothing's happening?" And I was like, "No, I'm fine." And she struggled to sort of get through lunch, and the only thing I said to her though was, "I haven't felt the baby move very much today. I feel like the baby's been really quiet." But I said, after this, I'm heading home and I'll go and lay down and see if I can get the baby to move." So she went back to work, still cramping away. And I went home, laid down, had a cold. I'd just been busy on my feet all day. So I just thought maybe I just need to slow down. So went home, had a rest. Didn't really feel any movements, drank some cold water, had something sugary, nothing really eventuated. The other thing was, normally the baby had hiccups 3 or 4 times a day. They just hiccuped all the time. So I just had also noticed, I hadn't really noticed any hiccups. So the baby just seemed a lot quieter than usual. So Steve got home from work and we were having dinner, and I said to him, I think I'd messaged him in the day, and then I said to him again at dinner time, look, this baby's still really quiet. And he said, just call the midwife. And I was like, oh, I don't want to annoy her. You know what it's like. I was like, I'm probably just overreacting. He said, just ring her and see what she says. So I phoned her and she was actually at tennis. And she said, look, I'll be done in an hour and then I can meet you up at the hospital. And I said, okay, that's fine. Not a problem. And then she rang me back and she said, actually, no, you shouldn't have to wait for me to finish. If you're concerned, you need to be seen now. And she was actually going off duty, or she was going to have a backup midwife over that weekend. She had a wedding on, and I hadn't actually met the backup midwife before. So she said, I've phoned her and she can actually meet you at the hospital in like 20 minutes. If you leave home now, she'll meet you there. And it's a good chance for you to like meet her before the weekend in case you go into labor. So I said, okay, that's fine. So we set off to the hospital, met the backup midwife, and we went on the CTG, and they could see there wasn't a lot of movement. You know how they often give you a button to push when you feel them moving? And I just didn't really feel anything other than on the drive-in, the baby got the hiccups. And I said to Steve, oh, always, you know, like, now I feel really bad. Yeah. The baby's probably fine. They're hiccuping away. But yes, on the CTG, they could see that baby was quite quiet. Heart rate was absolutely perfect. And they could see some sort of like little tightenings. And they said, can you feel that? And I said, no. But what I had had since 18 weeks was Braxton Hicks. So I got Braxton Hicks really early in both the my pregnancies. And so I couldn't feel this sort of cramping sensation that they could see on the monitor. But I could feel like I was still having Braxton Hicks. So in the end, the midwife said, look, what we'll do is, you know, heart rate's fine. All looks okay, other than, you know, the baby's a bit quiet, but like they look pretty happy in there. So what we will do is just book you in for an ultrasound tomorrow morning and go and just check the fluid and the cord and all the rest of it. And Steve was, I sort of said, okay, that's fine. But Steve was actually quite good at this point and sort of advocating. And he said, actually, like, it's not normal for this baby to be so quiet and you can see there's not a lot of movements. Like, would you just mind running it past like an obstetrician before we leave, that they're happy that we go home? Because we had actually brought our bags in just in case something wasn't quite right.
Yeah.
So the midwife went with and checked with the obstetrician, and they said, no, the obstetrician's happy with that plan because, yeah, heart rate's fine, baby looks happy. And if anything changes overnight, definitely come back. But otherwise, we'll book you in for an ultrasound in the morning. So with that, we went home, went to bed. And I do remember waking up around maybe 11 o'clock and I couldn't really get back to sleep. So I made a Milo, had a Milo, went back to sleep. And then at 3 a.m. I woke up feeling sort of like period type pain. And one thing I had said to my midwife, because I'd had these Braxton Hicks that just got more and more intense as the pregnancy went on, to some point I was having to sort of like breathe through them because they were just so tight and uncomfortable. I was a little bit concerned in like, would I know the difference between a Braxton Hick and like labor contractions? She said that you'll definitely know, because like labor contractions are quite low down and you can often feel them in your back and low in the front, and definitely feel more like period pain. And I was like, okay. So when I woke up, I felt this first little twinge and I thought, ah, that's different to what I'm used to. And I just lay there, and then like 5 or so minutes later, another one happened. And after about the third, I thought, oh, I might just time these. So I started timing, and they were sort of like 5 or 7 minutes apart. So I just lay there for the hour. And then at 4 a.m., I thought, I want the TENS machine on because I know you should use it in early labor. So I woke Steve up and said, look, I think I could be in labor. Can you help me put the TENS machine on? So we popped the TENS machine on and I just kind of lay there and used that in bed. Steve's parents were actually away in South Africa. So at some point between 4 and 5, we video called them and we were chatting to them. And by the end of the call, like he was putting it on my face, and I was having to breathe through these contractions. In the end, I said, just, we've got to go. I just need to get in the shower. For some reason, like, I can't talk to them anymore. Like, I just need to get up and moving, and I need to get out of bed, and I want a shower. So 5 a.m. we took the tens off, and I hopped in the shower, and the warm water was amazing. So from the shower, I decided, like, I want to hop in the bath. So he ran the bath, and I went down and I hopped in the bath. And by this stage, I was kind of having to really work through the contractions and breathe through them. And I do remember my midwife also saying, you know, like, you want the contractions to get closer together, but you also want the intensity to be increasing. And call when they're sort of 3 to 4 minutes apart and lasting a minute to a minute and a half. So by this time, Steve was using his, I got him to download the contraction timer as well. And he was like, these contractions are 2 minutes apart. And I was like, oh, that's fine. Like, how long are they lasting? And he said, oh, only 45 seconds to a minute. And I was like, oh, well, they're close together, but I got quite hooked up on the length of time they should have been, or, you know, before ringing her. And I said, oh, they're not long enough. Like, we won't bother her yet. She'll think, you know, last night she's ringing me because the baby's quiet. Now this morning she's ringing me thinking she's in labor. Like, I just felt really bad pestering her for some reason. I was just in the bath, and then I had a few that all of a sudden I was like, these are really painful now. So I said, I think we better call her. And it was 6 a.m. So phoned her. I think Steve had to talk to her because I was just focusing on what I was doing. And so I think that kind of gave her a good indicator that, okay, things are definitely happening. So she said she would be at our place by 7. So I eventually got out of the bath, put the tens back on, and I found leaning over the kitchen bench rocking from side to side, like keeping my hips moving, really helped me. So when she arrived, I was here just in the kitchen rocking from side to side, and she said, let's go up to the bedroom and I'll see how far along you are. So just after 7, she checked me at home and she said, yep, you're 4 centimetres. So I thought, okay, like, things are happening and we're progressing. So she sort of said, do you want to wait at home a bit longer or do you want to head into the hospital? And Steve said, like, up to you, what do you want to do? And I said, oh, look, the bags are in the car from last night. Let's just head in. So off we went to the hospital. We didn't live too far away, but it was a Friday morning. It's raining, so everyone's now trying to get to work and to school, and we got stuck in all the traffic. And I was just in the back labouring, like in the back seat with the TENS machine on. We got to the hospital and the midwife said to me, I want you to walk up the stairs to level 3. And I was like, oh, wonderful. So off I trot up the stairs and get to right where the hospital cafe is, where everyone's getting their morning coffee at 8 a.m. And I have this whopping contraction and I'm sort of, everyone's looking and I'm trying to breathe through it. And and then it's just incredible. I couldn't believe how normal you felt in between the contractions. Like, you kind of go a bit delirious while you're having a contraction and then you become really lucid again. So everyone gives you, you know, a bit of a wave and good luck for today as we trot off up the next flight of stairs. And we got to our room and once again I just asked for the bed to be raised so that I could sort of just stand and lean on it and rock from side to side. And so I just stayed there and kept using the TENS machine. I did really enjoy that up until a point where my contractions were getting really close together. Like, I felt like I wasn't getting much of a break and I felt like I was trying to focus more on the contractions and I would accidentally, you know, you'd use the boost button in the contraction, but then I would forget to turn it off once the contraction had finished and then it would still be sort of zapping away on my back. And all of a sudden I just felt like it was just irritating me. and I was sort of more focused on what the TENS machine was doing and trying to control that than I was working through the contractions. So in the end, I said, Steve, just take it off. Like, I'm done with it now. Mm-hmm. And just at that point, I felt this almighty pop and all this warm water just run down my legs. And I was still dressed in the clothes that we had arrived in. So I said to the midwife, as I'm standing there with waters in my jandals in a puddle, like, my waters have just gone. And she said, okay, that's cool. Let's get you into the bathroom and we'll get you cleaned up and pop a gown on. So I think by this stage I had also asked for the gas, because I remember them wheeling a tank in with, like, a portable tank with me into the bathroom. Yeah. And when I took my, like, knickers and undies down, my bloody show and everything had kind of gone all at once with my waters. Mm. So nothing had come prior. And while I was sitting on the toilet, I said to her, like, I need to push. And she said, what? And I said, I feel like I need to push. There was just so much pressure in my bottom. And she said, oh, no, like, we've only just got here. Let's run the bath. And I said, all right. So they put the bath on and I got changed and I was like, I really need to push. And she said, oh, I only checked you just over an hour ago at home. It probably was about 8:30 to 9:30. So it might have been an hour and a half since she checked me. And I said, I really, really need to push. So she said, okay, let's get back to the bed and I'll do another check and we'll see where you're at. So I waddled back to the bed and she checked me and she said, oh, you're 10 centimetres and you can get pushing. And I kind of freaked out. Like, I thought, like, I really found the gas effective in slowing my breathing down as well. Yeah. But at that point I panicked a bit because I was like, oh, can I have the epidural? And she said, not that I really wanted it, but I just felt like I'd kind of lost a bit of control and all my options were taken away. And I was really nervous about how long this pain was going to go on for. And, like, could I cope with this amount of pain for, I don't know, I thought maybe I'm going to be at this for another few hours. And she kind of just looked me in the, like, sort of, I think she grabbed my cheeks actually and said, Courtney, you're okay. You're already doing this. Like, you keep going and we'll have your baby soon. She just kind of had to give me a bit of a pep talk. And I was like, okay, let's just go. And so, yeah, a couple of contractions went by and I was sucking away on the gas. And then she said to me, are you pushing yet? And I was like, no, I'm nervous. I'm too scared. I was kind of got to that point and just held it in. And she said, just go with your body. And I was like, okay. And I found the pushing really, I found it quite empowering, but also really like I was doing something effective, you know, like I really just went with it. And I almost commentated it. I could really feel the baby like dropping down into the birth canal. And I sort of feel like I just breathed him out and breathed him down. And I sort of said to her, I feel like the head's coming, like you're going to see it soon. And then it would go back up. And I said, oh, no, he's gone up. And then I would, like, the next contraction, I'd say, okay, I feel like he's going to crown. And then I could feel the ring of fire. And she said, yep, no, I can see some hair. And I was quite surprised that he was going to have hair for some reason. Like, my husband's got quite thin hair. And as a baby, like, I had such fine hair. I looked like a boy. Like, I just had no hair. So I just assumed we'd have a baby with no hair. So I was amazed that she said she could see hair. Oh, and the other thing was another midwife came in to bring, like, the medication. Is it the oxytocin or syntocin for the to deliver the placenta if needed?
Yeah.
And I, for some reason, asked her to stay and take some photos. So I have the most amazing photos of him being delivered. And, yeah, sure enough, he crowned and his head came out. And then it was the weirdest feeling because then I had to wait for the next contraction. So we've got this photo and his head's out and he's kind of like got his head turned to the side with his eyes open, just looking around. And Steve and I are laughing like, what is going on? And the midwife is smiling. And she just said, look, you with your next sort of contraction, you do another big push and he will be here. So next contraction pushed him out, and I sort of sat forward a bit and I hooked my arms under his and I sort of pulled him up and onto me. He had quite a short umbilical cord, so I sort of couldn't get him right up onto my chest. He sort of stopped just under my boobs.
Yeah.
And yeah, the first thing my husband said was, "There's a ball bag. We have a boy. There's a ball bag." Like, he was so stoked. And yeah, the time was 9:14. So from the time she checked me at home at just after 7, I was 4 centimeters, and I had delivered 2 hours later. So it was quick for a first birth. Not that I realized that, but afterwards the midwife sort of kept checking in because they thought I might go into a wee bit of shock just because it happened quite quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing, and yeah, a really, really incredible experience.
Yeah, that is amazing. And yes, it's incredible to hear about those sort of faster labors, particularly for first time mums. And did you need any like stitches or anything like that from your birth?
No, nothing. I had a graze, and that's what my midwife said. It was a really controlled birth. And I do feel like I breathed a lot of the time. I do sort of thank the yoga for that. And I did find the gas really good. Initially, I thought you could only suck gas in. And I thought, this is a bit weird. And then she said, no, it's kind of like a two-way valve. So you can actually blow back out. So when I got the hang of that, I just did these really slow, deep breaths. And it was just really controlled. And yeah, didn't tear at all.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool. And how did things sort of progress from there? Did you decide you wanted to stay in hospital, or did you want to go home or to a birth center, or what did that look like for you?
We don't have a birth center here in Nelson, so we decided we would just stay in the hospital. So yeah, I had him just after 9:15 in the morning. I waited. I think it took about I only pushed for about half an hour, and then my placenta was delivered just naturally. We waited for that, was delivered 20 minutes later. I rang my sister straight away in between times, and she was just itching to get up to the hospital. So I said, actually, wait, I haven't delivered the placenta, so just give me half an hour and then head on up. So by the time she got there, the midwife had started doing her checks, and Steve was over with the midwife and the baby, and he was helping get the baby dressed. So my sister helped me through the shower, which was really nice. And then we just headed round to the postnatal ward. I actually felt really, really bad when we turned up. There was a lady obviously in labor as well, sort of walking up and down the corridor with her headphones and laboring away. And 2 hours later, I was walking down the corridor with the baby, and she.
I've seen people like you, Courtney. I was the person like waiting, and there was so funny.
Yeah, and I left, and she was still pacing the corridor, and I felt really bad. But yeah, we just went round to the postnatal ward and chilled out there for the day. My family came up later in the afternoon. Steve was there most of the day. The hospital midwives did keep checking in just to make sure I didn't go into any kind of shock. I felt great. I felt really good, other than like my vagina wasn't sore, but I felt like I had birthed through my butt. My bottom was so sore, like I'd been kicked by a horse, like it felt bruised. So I do remember feeling really tender and finding it quite.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Uncomfortable sort of like sitting. But yeah, we just kind of had a cruisy day, and evening. Steve went home later on. He ended up going out and having a few too many drinks with the boys to celebrate. I was just chilling up at the hospital with Max, and then Steve arrived back around 9 o'clock the next morning, and we waited until lunchtime when my midwife came back in to see us. I do have to say, the hospital, I don't know if part of it was that I'm a nurse, so they might have assumed that I knew what I was doing, but I found it hard. The first shift after he was born, like the morning shift, they checked in a lot, but the afternoon shift, I think they were busy, but I had to ring for pain relief. Like, my midwife introduced herself at the start of the shift, and I didn't see her till 8 hours later. I rang and said, look, can I have some Panadol and Nurofen, because I'm really sore. So I did find that I wasn't getting a lot of input up there. I had to ring the bell to ask them to come in to sort of help with latching and feeding. He was quite sleepy, so at one point during the night we had to express some colostrum and syringe it to him. So by the time my midwife came back the next day at lunchtime, I said, I just want to go. Like, I'm not getting much care here. And it was a hot, stuffy room, and I said I'd be much more comfortable at home. So, and she was going to come back the next day anyway. So, yeah, we headed home. We just had the one night in hospital, headed home sort of mid-afternoon, and, yeah, settled in there.
Yeah. Awesome. And how did you find that? How did you find taking your new baby home and, like, yeah, you're still recovering from birth and learning to breastfeed and all that sort of stuff? So what was that first, couple of days and week like?
Yeah, they did say to us, you know, expect, you know, night two, because we were heading home before night two. You know, it can be quite rough with the cluster feeding and things, but he slept, so we had to actually wake him to feed. And I thought, like, this isn't so bad. The next day, so I had him on the Friday, we went home Saturday. The next day was actually, on the Sunday, was my work baby shower. And another lady at work, one of the other nurses, was also pregnant, so we were having a combined lunch. And I thought, I feel bad if I don't go. So Steve offered to drive me, and I said, oh, no, I'll be fine. In hindsight, I look back now and think, what was I thinking? But I think I was just so high on, like, adrenaline and emotions. And so I didn't tell anyone from work that I'd actually had a baby. I just turned up for the baby in the capsule, and they were like, what? And I said, oh, yeah, I had him 2 days ago. So I was out for lunch 2 days after I had him.
Oh my gosh,
I know. And then that night, so night three for us was rough, and he just fed and fed and fed, and my nipples got cracked and sore. And I think we didn't get him settled till like 5 a.m. And I was like, what is this? Like, what is going on? So when my midwife texted, I said, come ASAP. So she was out, and she had just finished at a birth. So she came straight to us at like 7 in the morning. And she said, Courtney, remember that unsettled night? You've just had it night three, not night two. And I was like, okay. But after that, we loved it. I recovered really well. I felt great. And yeah, we just kind of enjoyed settling in at home, going for little walks, and I loved it. I'd been wanting to be a mum for so long, so I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, it was quite a nice time, and lovely to, you know, have family and friends come round and meet him. And yeah, feeding for us, once we got over the first probably week, was quite uncomfortable and painful. But he was a great little feeder. So, we had no problems with breastfeeding, and yeah, all went pretty well, I think.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Sounds like you were just totally born to be a mum, which is very cool.
I was definitely winging it at some points, but fumble your way through.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. And did you notice any, like, of the baby blues or any hormonal shifts or anything like that throughout that period, or you don't think that sort of applied to you?
I definitely think at some point in that first week I felt quite tearful. I have to say I noticed it more second time round. First time I think I felt like I was just quite high for a week or so. So I think there was a couple of days that I felt a bit more emotional and a bit tearful, but overall, I think I felt all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And your physical recovery from birth, I know you mentioned it went pretty well. You didn't have any complications or, yeah, how did you find that?
No, I was lucky in that. I mean, I felt like once again, my bottom was the sorest part. Yeah. Oh, one thing I didn't know about that I wished I had have known was the, you know, the cramps with your uterus contracting back down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I just wasn't sure what the heck was going on in those first couple of days when, you know, you're feeding and all of a sudden you can just feel your stomach cramping and cramping. And so that took me by surprise. And also the pain with the engorgement when your milk came in. Mm. Oh, my goodness. That was something I wasn't prepared for. So once those things sort of settled down within that first week, I felt pretty good.
Yeah.
I just had the standard bleeding for 6 weeks and then I was feeling well.
Awesome. And what about you and Steve? How did you find your relationship sort of changed with this little baby that you've brought into the world? And what did you do in terms of like sharing the parenting load and things around the house? How did that look for you?
He pretty much moved out to the couch. We quickly realized there's no point in having two tired parents. And it's something we actually tell a lot of our friends now, is that in those early days, you know, mum's doing a lot of the feeding and things. And so we just decided he had not a lot of time off work, actually, but we just sort of thought that it would be better to have at least someone well rested, and I would tackle the nights, and if I needed him, then I would go and wake him up. We've often said to friends, like, there is no point in having two tired parents. Someone should be getting some rest. And often, we would tag team. So if we did have a rough night that, you know, I would try and get through till 3 or 4 a.m. or something, and then I'd go and pass the baby to him, and I'd go back to bed and get some sleep before he went off to work. So we sort of just made that work for us. And it was definitely an adjustment. And we're quite social people and love going out for dinner and things. And so that was easy to do when they were, you know, newborn and little and happy to be in a capsule. But kind of by that 3 month mark, where you're trying to get into a bit of a bedtime routine, we definitely felt a bit more housebound. But it just was a phase of life, really. And we know it's not going to be like that forever. So no, I think we worked quite well together as a team. And Steve doesn't cope well with not a lot of sleep. So I'm quite aware that if he needs to function, he needs a bit more sleep than I do. I think that's one thing I said to my boss, is even as hard as night shifts are, being a nurse, they definitely prepare you for parenthood, because even getting a couple of hours of sleep here and there throughout the night is better than being at work, being awake all night. I was pretty lucky in that I didn't really ever feel too sleep deprived. I was sort of used to having a lack of sleep.
And in terms of expanding your family more, did you have any thoughts on wanting to have more children, or what did that look like for you?
We knew we would want another. I think we were pretty set on just having two, and we also had said that we wouldn't rush into having a second one. We really wanted to just enjoy the first for a few years. They're not little for that long. So we had said between a 2 to 3 year age gap. But I probably didn't want much more than 3 years, just because I feel like it's sometimes a bit tricky to start back at the newborn phase again. So when Max was nearing two, we sort of thought, okay, now's the time to start. I had a chat to the gynecologist at work again, and do you think I'll need Clomiphene, or how do I tackle this time round? And she just suggested getting some ovulation sticks and tracking my cycle for a while. So I breastfed Max until he was nearly 11 months, and after that my cycle came back really regular and quite pain-free, which was the first time in years since I was 14. So I was actually one of those lucky ones that pregnancy and breastfeeding definitely helped with my endo symptoms. So
yeah.
I ended up buying a box of ovulation sticks off Amazon because they can be really expensive. So I got like a box of 100 for $30 or something, and I started tracking my cycle, and I quickly realized I had a 5-week cycle and ovulated on day 21, not day 14. So everything was a week later for me. So once I figured that out, Steve and I tried, I think I tracked for a couple of months, and then on the third month I said, all right, I think this is when I ovulate, and we got pregnant straight away. So it was definitely much easier second time round. I went and had some bloods done, and unfortunately my HCG was quite low, although I was quite early. And so she said, let's just repeat in a couple of days and see how it's looking. And unfortunately, it hadn't doubled. It had only gone up from like by 10 or something. So she said, it's looking like you may miscarry. So I just kind of waited it out. And only a few days later, I actually started spotting. And so I just sort of waited, and the bleeding essentially then began. And I was around between 5 to 6 weeks along. And so, that pregnancy did end in a miscarriage. And which I guess the pain surprised me, I guess, with miscarrying. I guess after being in labor, you sort of know what those cramps feel like. And for me, the miscarriage felt very much the same. And the bloating and the heavy bleeding and all the rest of it, it kind of took me by surprise. But I'm also in the mindset, like, if that's nature's way of, you know, saying that something's not quite right, then I was okay about it. I kind of understood, and it was early days as well. So I once again spoke to the gynecologist, and she said it's always good to give it a month, give it one cycle, and then, you know, you can try again when you're ready. So around 3 weeks later, once again, I just had all these like weird symptoms. I think like my boobs were sore. I just felt a bit off. And I actually said to Steve, I knew I had miscarried, but I almost felt like there was something going on. Like I was almost still pregnant or something. I went and even got a pregnancy test and it was negative. And then the penny dropped and I was like, oh, I wonder if I'm ovulating again already. And so I did an ovulation test, and sure enough, it was as dark as could be. And so I said to Steve, well, if we, you know, want to try now's a good time. So I got pregnant again 3 weeks after the miscarriage. And that was little Hugo. So Max had just turned 2 when that happened. It was definitely nice to have. I was quite anxious this time around, I guess. I definitely in that first 12 weeks was a bit more concerned as to how it might play out, so I was straight back getting some bloods done, but this time my HCG rose quite nicely, and so that was reassuring. And actually with the miscarriage, I had learnt from first time round about trying to find a midwife. So with the miscarriage, only when I found out I was only about 4 weeks along, I found a midwife straight away, and she was great in helping me with getting the blood tests and things done around the miscarriage. And then when I let her know that's how it had ended, she was really supportive and just said, okay, well, you know, I'm here when, you know, you want to try again, just let me know. So when I got back to her only like the next month, she said, oh, okay, that was quick. But I was definitely on to finding a midwife very quickly this time around.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And how did the rest of this pregnancy play out? Was it much different to your first? And yeah, how were you feeling? And did you do all of the sort of same testing? What did that look like?
I was convinced this time round I was having a girl. My symptoms were quite different. With the first, I craved like salty, savory foods, and this time around, all I wanted was sweet stuff. The nausea and almost morning sickness would kick in at like 3 p.m. I would feel fine all day, and then come 3 o'clock, I just hit a wall, and I was felt so sick. And would be gagging away as I'm cooking dinner type of thing. So, yeah, I just felt different and different symptoms. So I was convinced it was a girl. And but once again, I got through the till the second trimester, and I felt fine. We'd still did the standard testing, although this time around we were in COVID restrictions. I think we might have been in level 3 at the start of the pregnancy, which somewhat worked in my favor, because for the first wee while, Steve had to be at home with the lockdown, so it was quite nice having him home when I was feeling average in that first trimester. He could help with Max and I could kind of rest. But then it came to the 20-week scan, and we turned up for that, and they hadn't actually informed us that like partners couldn't come in. So Steve turned up with me, and they said, "Oh, you can't come in. She's got to go in on her own." So I got quite upset with that. More so, I felt bad for him not being able to come. So he just had to go and sit in the car and wait. But I was also pleased because he really wanted to find out this time. So if he had come in, he would have definitely been trying to suss out and look for what it was going to be. Whereas I just didn't even look at the screen. Like, I was more than happy to have another surprise. And yeah, I did. I think I was just a bit more nervous this time around. I did go in for a couple of CTGs just with reduced movements. Once again, they often had been on days where I was quite busy. One was a w morning I was at work, and one of the obstetricians slash gynecologists there, she was the one that's like, "Courtney, just go up and get checked out." So she forced me to go up. But of course, I just hadn't got round to eating morning tea. It was kind of lunchtime before I'd had anything to eat. So by the time I scoffed some food in the car on the way to the hospital, I got there and the baby was kicking away. So, yeah, I did have a couple of extra CTGs, but just the regular bloods and screening. I did do the gestational diabetes this time, which was negative. But just the standard scans and things like that.
Awesome. And did you do anything different for birth education this time around?
I did none.
None.
Yeah,
Amazing.
I think just being your second, like, you're busy.
Yeah.
Actually, the one thing I did go and do again was my pregnancy yoga. I did say to Steve, "Look, you need to be at home by 5 o'clock on a Wednesday, because I just need an hour to myself and to connect with this baby." Like, it is definitely different being pregnant second time round, running after a toddler.
Yes, yeah.
It's a whole different ball game. So you
Totally,
just feel a bit more tired. I don't think I really felt like I got my energy back in the second trimester like you did with the first, because you're constantly on the go. But yeah, my pregnancy yoga was sort of a non-negotiable. I said, "I really want to go and do that." So that helped me once again, just kind of get back into the mindset of your breathing and opening up your hips. And one thing she gave out the first time around was some pregnancy affirmations at the end of each week, and I had kept them. So they were back up on my mirror, and I was reading those each day. And in that time, your podcast had started, so I was an avid listener. I also listen to the Australian Birth Stories every week. So yeah, I just kind of kept birth sort of in the forefront of my mind, but didn't do any real like new education as such.
Awesome. Cool. And did your midwife sort of talk to you around the fact that you'd had a fast first labor and then what might this labor look like? Or yeah, how did you go there?
So I did have a different midwife this time, because my first had moved out of town, and she did say, your second labour is different, is usually faster than your first. And so she wanted us to prepare for a home birth. And so we did a lot of sort of education around a home birth. Steve was quite, he wasn't against it, but he wasn't really for it. He's quite like a, he, you know, doesn't like risk. And so for him, he felt safer for us to go to the hospital. But the midwife's sort of point of view was sometimes it's safer to birth at home than trying to get to a hospital and have a baby on the side of the road. So we had everything set up here for a home birth. We had everything in the fridge, all the medications. I had gone out and brought the tarpaulins and the sieves, and I had the ice cream container for the placenta and all the buckets and towels and everything ready to go. But I also had a hospital bag packed ready to go. And so our plan was to get her to come here and check me and see how far along I was. And if we had the time, we would go to the hospital. But if we didn't have time, we would stay and birth at home. So that was the plan. I was more than happy to birth at home. It wasn't the birth that kind of worried me about the home birth. It was, well, one, I did really like the gas. So if I could get to the hospital for the gas, then that was good. But my main concern at home was having Max in the house, especially if it happened overnight. Like, I just wanted to stay focused on what I was trying to do and not worry about having a toddler that I might wake up. And also, I really wanted a night just with this baby. Being a second baby, they're not going to get a lot of time on their own. So if I could have a night in hospital, I really would have, I would like that, you know, that's what I would have preferred instead of just being thrown straight into having two kids at home straight off the bat. So we were kind of going to play it by ear. We were prepared for both either which way.
Awesome. Cool. And what was the end sort of stages of your pregnancy like this time round? And do you want to talk us through, your labour starting and into your birth story?
So the end of this pregnancy felt like it went on forever. I felt like I was bigger this time. I was way more uncomfortable. And because I had Max 10 days early, the midwife said, oh, well, you might go early again. You know, you might not. I kind of thought, oh, I've been early once, I'll go early again. So it probably wasn't the best mindset to be in, because I didn't go early. Those extra sort of 10 days felt like 10 weeks. And I thought, surely I won't get to my due date. Like, I just won't. Like, this baby's got to come early, like the first. And so it was the day before my due date. It was a Sunday, and we went out for brunch, and I waddled through, like, the Queen's Gardens here. And on the way home, I said to Steve, I just need to lie down on the couch. Like, I'm spent. I'm so tired and sore. But in the car, I noticed these like twinges down in like my cervix. And I thought, that's weird. Like, I haven't felt that before. But other than that, I just felt uncomfortable like every other day and exhausted. So it was a rainy day. We just plodded along at home. Steve went out in the afternoon, and I thought, I'd better get Max out of the house. But I didn't want to do too much parenting, so I just took him to my sister's house. And she entertained him for a while. And then I said, look, I actually feel like I just want to be at home. So bundled him in the car, came home again, and Steve wasn't here. And I was like, oh, I'm so done with this parenting thing today. Like, he's just got to take over. So I rang him, and he wasn't far from being at home. But he said, like, his mum, my mother-in-law, had offered to have Max that night so we could go out to a movie. And I said to him, I can't think of anything worse than having to try and sit in a movie theater. Like, I just couldn't sit still. I was so uncomfortable. But she was quite insistent that we went out and did something, because this was going to be the last chance for a while. So I said, look, let's just get Max to bed and we'll go for a quick dinner. So pop Max to bed. The last thing I felt like doing was going out anywhere. All I felt like all day was a bath. I just felt like I needed to be in water. But we went out for dinner, and we were home in like an hour and a half. I think we left at 6:30, and we were home just after 8 o'clock. And before his mum had even sort of like walked out the door, I had the bath on. And I ran a bath and I hopped in and, oh, it was the best I'd felt all day. Mm. Like I just, you know, being weightless was so nice. And I was actually messaging a friend who was also pregnant, and she said, surely these babies will come soon. Like, she was waiting on hers as well. And I was in the bath for about an hour, and I got out at 9, and Steve said, look, I might sleep on the couch tonight. And I said, yep, by all means. Like, I was that uncomfortable and tossed and turned all night in bed anyway. Like, it was almost nice and not having him there. I wasn't worried about waking him up. And I had put a waterproof mat down in bed weeks prior, but I was sick of getting tangled in it, and I was hot and bothered. So that one particular night, I thought, oh, I'm just going to take it out. And I thought, oh no. I thought, oh, it'll be my luck if I do, that I need it. So I left it in there. I hopped into bed around 9:30, and I was messaging my friend still. And then I noticed in the bath, my stomach was like quite gurgly, like I had gas. And I kept thinking, like, do I need to fart or what's going on here? And then when I was lying in bed, my stomach did this like almighty rumble. And I was like, what is going on? Like, yeah, do I need to head up to go to the toilet? And then all of a sudden, like, I heard, not, I didn't just feel, I heard this pop and my water just gushed out. Like, I felt like 2 liters just exploded out of me, and I felt it just run down and fill this waterproof pad, like, or sheet under me. And then it just tracked all the way back up and up my back. And I was just laying there in this like puddle of water thinking, okay, this is the start. It kind of took me by surprise, because Max's labor started with contractions, and then this one started with my waters breaking.
Yeah.
So I actually rang Steve, and so I only know that my waters broke at 9:56, because I had to ring him from upstairs, and I rang him downstairs and said, hey, look, you need to come up. My waters have just broken. So he got a towel, and I came back downstairs and like went to hop in the shower. And then I was like, oh, actually I do need to go to the toilet, and I had diarrhea. So that kind of made me think, okay, maybe things are starting. Like, I've just had a clear out. And then I hopped back in the shower, and when I was in the shower, I had my first contraction, and I thought, oh yeah, this isn't too bad. I had rung my sister as well. The plan was that my sister would come, and so that way she would be here. If we stayed for a home birth, at least if Max woke up, he would have her here, or if we did go to the hospital, she could stay with him. And so not long after I got in the shower, she arrived, and I started timing my contractions, and they were 2 minutes apart from the start. And my midwife wanted me to ring when they were like 5 to 7 minutes apart. And so I just thought, oh no, these are fine, like they're not that bad. Like, the intensity didn't really increase to begin with. So had a shower, got out, rubbed some like clary sage all over my belly, had it going in the diffuser, and was still just plodding around the place. And sort of half an hour later, Steve said, have you rung the midwife yet? And I was like, no, these are fine. He said, I really think you should give her a heads up. She wanted to know when they were like 5 minutes apart, and they've been 2 minutes from the start. And I was like, oh, like, fine, whatever. So I rang her, and while I was on the phone to her, all of a sudden I couldn't talk through them, and she must have started timing them while I was talking to her. And she would say to me, okay, that one's finished, and we would chat away. And then she would say, okay, can you feel another one building? And I was like, yep. And I'd have to breathe through it. So she said to me, where do you want to have your baby? And I was like, oh, I thought you'd come and check me here. And she said, I don't know if we're going to have time, so you just need to decide where you'd like to have your baby. And I was like, oh, like, I sort of thought that decision would be made for me, depending on how dilated I was and if we had time to go or if we had to stay. And I sort of looked at Steve, and he looked back at me. He said, you decide, where would you like to go? What do you want to do? And I said, oh, I think I want the gas, so we'll go to the hospital. So the midwife, I spoke to her around 10:30, and she said, okay, I'll meet you at the hospital at 11:30, but if you feel like, or actually no, I'll meet you there at 11:15, but if you want to get there earlier, you just turn up, I'll let them know you're on your way. So I started packing some snacks, and she put the bags in the car, and then I don't know what I was thinking, but then I thought, oh, I better give all this linen back to the midwife that I now don't need for the home birth that she dropped off. So I made him load that into the boot. And then after a while, he said, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I don't know. He said, let's just go. And I was like, all right. So in the car, and he flew to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I was still just having contractions every 2 minutes. And we got to the hospital, and because it was COVID, we had to do COVID screening at the main doors. And of course, someone else was trying to get into the hospital. So we were kind of lined up waiting to be screened. And then when they saw that I was in labor, the other person was like, oh, you guys go in front. And then
thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And then the like the teleop person in the office was trying, it's like, oh, I better just call the ward. And I said, no, like, they know we're coming, can we just go in? So they let us in. We went in the lift this time. The doors opened and I had this almighty contraction. I said to Steve, stop, I can't move. And I was bearing down, like I was pushing. And I said, I can't, I've just got to wait until I get through this contraction. So I waited, and then I waddled down the corridor and into labor and delivery, and there was like a midwife waiting, and we walked into the room, and it was only just after 11, about 10 past 11, we arrived, and my midwife was actually already there setting up, and she was just moving the bed, and I just took grip of the hand basin in the room, and with each contraction I was bearing down. And so I think on about the second contraction, she just used the Doppler and listened to the baby and said, yep, everything's fine, and you better get on the bed. So I took my pants off and I climbed up on the bed. This time they sort of put the back of the bed up maybe 45 degrees, and I went on my sort of hands and knees, or I was sort of hanging over the back of the bed.
Yeah.
With Max, I actually birthed on my back. Like, I got on the bed to be checked, and I just never moved from that position again. Yeah. Whereas this time I was sort of more in an upright position. And once again, I just asked for the gas, and I just sort of zoned out and was just bearing down with each contraction. And at one point, the midwife said, how long do you think you've been here? And I was like, oh, I don't know, like an hour? And she said, oh, you've been here 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And then I could feel his head right there. And I was just so scared, like that ring of fire, that stretching, I could really feel it. And I was so scared I was going to like just tear or something. So she went and got a hot compress. And she said to me, Courtney, if you push into that really sore part in your next contraction, you'll have his head out. So that's what I did. And boy, could I feel the ring of fire this time. And with that contraction, his head was out. And I don't remember waiting for another contraction. I almost feel like she helped him turn his shoulders straight away, and out he came, and she put him on the bed between my legs. So he was on the bed, and I looked down and just said, oh my gosh, we have another boy. Like, I was shocked it was a boy. I was adamant it was going to be a girl. I had three girls' names to choose from, or we had three girls' names to choose from. Didn't even really have a boy's name in the picture. But I just scooped him up, and yeah, I couldn't have been happier. And the time was 11:26. So he arrived 16 minutes after we arrived on the ward, and exactly 1.5 hours after my waters broke.
Crazy. That is super fast.
So super fast. I don't think the midwife was surprised. Yeah. I think she knew it was going to happen quick, but I was like oblivious that it would be that quick. So yeah, we just kind of had skin to skin. My placenta, I didn't bleed much, so we just waited for my placenta to come away. But after about an hour, and he'd been feeding and stuff, I still never really got the urge or any contractions for it to come out. So in the end, she sort of said, I think you just need to give it a bit of a push and I'll pull gently. And she did, and out it came. Like, it was just sitting there, but just didn't really come out without a bit of help.
Yeah.
And then, yes, the midwife started doing her checks. Steve had skin to skin, and I got up and had a shower, had a Milo, had something to eat, and then we went round to the postnatal ward. I think we got there around one in the morning, and Steve headed home around 2 a.m. and I just chilled overnight. And we didn't tell Max in the morning. We sort of, Steve just said to him, oh, Mum's gone off to see the midwife early. And he went off to daycare. We just sort of wanted to have a bit of time for Steve to come back and get us packed up in the hospital and get home and settled before we had Max there. So we ended up leaving the hospital around lunchtime, came home, and then a couple of hours later, or an hour or so after getting home, Steve went and picked Max up and brought him home to meet his brother.
Yeah, amazing. And how did that go?
Yeah, great. Max was at a really good age. He was nearly 3. I think he was 2 years, 10 months when Hugo arrived. So he understood a lot. I had taken him out to buy the baby a present. So he gave Hugo, he went and got his jelly cat, like a jelly cat bunny, and gave that to his brother. He was really excited to do that. And then we had got a couple of wee gifts for Max as well. And he was, just at a really helpful age. He was quite independent in his own needs, and loved a wee bit of responsibility. So he helped us with changing nappies and bathing, and we just let him hold him. And one thing I didn't do, like when they first met, I wasn't actually holding Hugo. I just had him down on the bed. And so Max would come in and like give me a hug as well. It wasn't like I was holding the baby. So yeah, Max was just fascinated with him. Absolutely loved him.
Yeah. Amazing. And how did you find adjusting to having two? Like, I just remember feeling so totally different the second time round, like as a mum, but also so different having two. So yeah, how did you find that?
Well, I found like my milk came in quite quick this time. I think it was on the second night, and I remember that night my parents had come to meet Hugo, and I was like, oh, I'm just going upstairs for a shower, and I just cried and cried and cried because I just actually wanted everyone to leave and go home so that I could just like snuggle the baby. And I just felt bad that I wasn't now gonna have all this time with Max. But it definitely coincided with my milk coming in. I've often said to people, like, they ask what's harder, you know, the first going from 0 to 1 or 1 to 2. I feel like first time round having a baby is hard because you don't know what you're doing. Everything's new. You kind of second guess yourself. You just don't feel as confident. Whereas second time round, the baby's the easy part, you know, like, you know what you're doing, you feel confident, things sort of come naturally. It's the juggle of two and meeting everyone's needs that is difficult. I found Max was great for the first probably 4 to 6 weeks, and then he realized the baby was here to stay, and he said, oh, when's the baby going? And we just said, no, he's not going, he's here to stay. And he's like, oh. And then he became a bit naughty for a few weeks, you know, just trying to get out, not necessarily naughty, but he was just fighting for attention. But once we got over that, we just continued to involve him in everything that we did. And we tried not to make it all about the baby, and just made sure we still had time to spend with him. And one of the biggest things this time for me was sort of to get into a routine quite quick, so that I could spend that one-on-one time with Max while, like, Hugo would be down asleep and things like that. And yeah, to be honest, I actually probably found the first year of having two somewhat easier than the second year. The first year you've got a baby and that you can at least put down and they stay in one place. And so They're a bit more contained and you're only chasing one kid round. Whereas as soon as they sort of turn one and they're on the move, I really found the second year more of a juggle, I think. Having two kids on the go, and they're very busy, active boys. And I found probably that second year even a bit more intense than the first.
Thanks for saying that, Courtney, because I'm right at the start of the second year now. I totally relate to that. Having two on the move is a totally different ball game.
Yeah, it's kind of nice being able to put the baby down and you know they're content, happy, safe in one space. But then when you've got them getting into everything and a toddler as well, it was definitely a juggle.
But it's
amazing seeing their relationship.
Form
and grow. That's definitely the best part of it, and I think that just sort of strengthens as they get older. The littlest sort of becomes more engaging, and Hugo definitely just admires Max. They're just the best of wee buds now, which is great.
Awesome. Very cool. And is there anything you feel like we've missed in your story, or anything else that you want to add before we close?
I don't think so. I kind of just wanted to share my story, because it might be a bit different having a quick first labor, and an even quicker second. But it's really, I think, if you sort of mentally prepare yourself, and one of my favorite affirmations that I always looked at was, I trust my body and my baby. And that was something that I really felt like I had to do, particularly in labor and birth, like really just go inside and listen and really feel what my body was doing. And I feel like just sort of breathing and only pushing when I felt those contractions and those urges, and having the sort of confidence to ease off and just let the baby go back up and then come back down slowly, I think definitely resulted in no tearing in either of the births, which then obviously helped with a nice recovery as well. So I think you just need to feel supported and in whatever choice you make. And I think all births are amazing and all women are incredible, no matter how we get our babies here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Courtney, for joining me on the podcast. I've really loved speaking with you. And it's nice to hear really positive births times two, which is just amazing. I know there'll be so many people that love your episode, so thank you for joining me.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me, listening to this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will be bringing you another birth story next week. A reminder that this week's episode was brought to you by Your Birth Project. If you want to find out more about creating your best birth, head to at Your Birth Project on Instagram or www.yourbirthproject.com. Talk to you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.